the three newcomers, Lewis Burras, Freya Colbert, and Mehdi Harris, what impressed you the most about them, and why do they deserve to be part of the team?
Oh, I think it's blatantly obvious why Lewis Burras is there. I mean, those times that he did for both the 50 and the 100 were outstanding, like astonishing. I mean, who would have thought that he would beat Ben Proud in a 50-meter freestyle?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me yet again is my good friend, Dan. And on this week's show, we are going to be reviewing the British Championships 2022 from Sheffield, as well as taking a look at the World Championship squad that was just named by British Swimming. Dan, there's lots to get through in this episode, and I cannot wait to talk more British Swimming yet again.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was a fantastic meet, a fantastic week, which we'll talk about. We're going to talk about the 23 names that have been now selected for the Worlds in mid-May in Budapest. Three new faces, which of course we're going to be talking about, and they were fantastic additions to this squad. And I think we're going to talk about the ones who have been a little bit unlucky as well, not to get selected. We'll talk about that. But before we jump into that, how was your honeymoon?
Yeah, it was really good. It was... Maybe people noticed I took a little break from Propulsion Swimming almost for about a month. Yeah. Just while I had the wedding, the podcast switched to Saturdays just so it didn't line up with my wedding day, so we could get stuff live. But the podcast will definitely be back in earnest. So will the YouTube videos. They will be back on Thursdays. So essentially the podcast on Thursdays again. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to getting into the meat of this swimming season, because now it all kicks off and we've got plenty of interviews coming up as well.
Yeah, it's all starting now, isn't it? We did it on Saturdays for a little bit, didn't we? Just as well for this one, because the world team were just selected on Thursday, wasn't it? Or was it Wednesday? I can't remember. Very recently anyway. So it's a good thing we waited for a bit, and I can't wait to get cracking, actually. Should we just jump straight into it?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you watched most of the British Champs meet live. What were your initial takeaways from the meet as a whole?
I just think it was brilliant to have the atmosphere back and buzzing, to see people in the stands cheering, obviously with it being Ponds Forge, Sheffield were the home team, and every time a Sheffield swimmer came out, just like, whoa, a massive roar. You could hear it on Jameson's and Amy Wilmot, who was fantastic, by the way. You could hear it on their microphones, because I feel like the Sheffield team were basically where they were, and you could hear it through the microphones. Absolutely incredible. I just think the whole event was amazing. You had the interviews after with John Mason, who I didn't know who that was before, but I think he did a really good job to see some personalities coming out, and I just generally think it was a brilliant meet. I think you missed out, actually. You saw the last 2 days, didn't you?
Yeah, and I've caught up on it in the meantime. Yeah. I just wasn't able to watch it live. I do want to give a big shout out to John Bailey. Hopefully a few people know who he is. He is the guy who basically produced the live stream. He does a lot of production for football. I think he's done the US swimming trials as well before. Yeah. He's a bit of a genius, and I'm very glad that the swimming world have him. Hopefully we can, I don't know, maybe potentially speak to him in the future about how to make a live stream like that just seem so effortless, because there are a lot of botched ones out there. I know the NCAA's one in America was pretty dreadful.
Yeah, I honestly think we pretty much nailed it. I mean, it's not quite to the standard of like the Amazon Prime with the Aussie trials, because they've got a little bit of funding behind them. But actually, I think we did really well as a show, as an event. The fact that we did little extra little things on the side, like that chopstick challenge, to get the personalities out of these swimmers. I thought it was brilliant.
I will say the chopstick challenge probably came a year too late, because Tokyo has happened. I also want to give a shout out for British Swimming for putting on as many finals as they did, but it was fast. It didn't seem like there were a lot of finals. No. So they wanted to put on four finals for each event, which was Junior, Priority Paris, which, if you're still wondering what it is, that's for swimmers who were born before 2001.
I think that's right, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And then a B final and then an A final, which essentially meant most swimmers at that meet who swam well got an opportunity to experience a final and experience racing through the rounds, which is incredibly important. And long may it continue.
yeah, brilliant for development and brilliant for exposure and experience. Because, you know, you go to these finals and the lighting sort of changes. It's like everything is on the main pool rather than what it was in the heat.
It's evening racing, isn't it?
It is. It's evening races. And then you get to rub shoulders with Adam Peaty, James Wilby, Abby Wood. You know, the massive guys and the elite swimmers that we have. And I'd long may it continue. It's brilliant for development. So, yeah, I think it's great.
Okay, then let's kick things off for the meat of this episode by going through that list of 23 names that have been named for the World Championships in Budapest this summer. So there were some automatic qualifiers ahead of time. So I'll just go through them. Kathleen Dawson, Tom Dean, Luke Greenbank, Dan Jervis, Adam Peaty, Ben Proud, Molly Renshaw, Duncan Scott, James Wilby, and Abby Wood all knew that their place was secured on the team thanks to top six finishes at Tokyo. And then you had the likes of James Guy, Anna Hopkin, and Matthew Richards, who were automatically selected for their relay positions. Essentially, they were secured as part of gold medal winning relay teams.
Yep.
Very, very much deserved. Mm-hmm. And then on the back of British champs, we had one swimmer, very standout swimmer, who gained the only automatic qualification spot, which was Lewis Burras. Very, very much deserved. I think we will get into him a little bit more, and certainly was one of the standout swimmers of British champs. Then Jacob Whittle was automatically selected for the relays. So essentially for the 4x1, the selection team agreed that that's a very strong relay and Jacob Whittle needs to take part of that, even though he's probably not quite got an individual qualification spot, but that's to be seen. And then there were eight more swimmers who were given wildcard slots, essentially. So Freya Anderson, Freya Colbert, Mehdi Harris, Lucy Hope, Joe Litchfield, Jacob Peters, Laura Stevens, Brody Williams. All eight of those didn't hit qualification times, which is a British qualification time. Fina Aker, I think a few of them did hit, but British swimming have a much tougher time for you to hit. They didn't hit that time, but the coaches were significantly impressed by their performances at trials that we thought they definitely need to be part of the World Champs team. Dan, that's the squad. I'm going to ask you to break down the three newcomers, Lewis Burras, Freya Colbert, and Mehdi Harris. What impressed you the most about them? And why do they deserve to be part of the team?
Oh, I think it's blatantly obvious why Lewis Burras is there. I mean, those times that he did for both the 50 and the 100 were outstanding, like astonishing. I mean, who would have thought that he would beat Ben Proud in a 50-meter freestyle?
Not me.
Not me. Not me. And did he beat him by quite a fair bit? Over a 50? He
point
did.
Two.
Yeah, point two.
I appreciate it's early on in the season for 50s. You don't expect any fast times, but he's going faster than Manadu. And to me, that is always, I don't know why, every year, Manadu at any point in the year is the benchmark. Because he's been doing it for so long, you just know what sort of times he's hitting when. And then come the World Champs or Olympics or major meet, he's top three. So whatever times he's doing, you want to be there or thereabouts, and he's beating Manadu.
Yeah. As of right now, if I'm going off memory, I think Michael Andrew might be the fastest in the world right now. But that was
he's fast whenever.
I mean, he was only 0.1 quicker than Lewis went at the meet, and the 100 meter free was arguably the better race for him, just fractionally off the British record that Duncan Scott holds. Will that go?
I think in the world now.
I think that's going to go. I mean, that's only a matter of time before that goes. He was definitely one of the standout swimmers of the meet, if not the standout swimmer. And another standout swimmer was Freya Colbert. I mean, what a meet she had. She actually got a collection of all the medals, didn't she? A gold, silver, and a bronze. And it wasn't just sort of like the same stroke. She got the 400 IM, the 200 free, and the 400 free, which are not easy events, especially especially who she's racing against, like Freya Anderson and Abby Wood in the 200, for example. Fantastic meet for the Nova swimmer. And then Mehdi Harris, who I kind of like said that she was going to have an outstanding meet. And she did. She broke 60 for the 100 back.
59 point is good.
It is good for this point in the year as well. Actually, she did swim well. I think she was a little bit disappointed that she didn't go quicker like she did at Bucks, for example. But I think her place on the team was rightly deserved, because I think when Worlds come round, I think she's definitely one to watch out for. And she might actually even threaten the medley relay and push Kathleen Dawson off. Don't know. But I think very highly of Mehdi, is what I'm trying to say. I think, watch out for her.
That's a bold call. That's a very bold call. But essentially, it's just good to not let Kathleen rest on her laurels, essentially, yes, to have that competition. I think it's incredibly impressive that British swimming constantly have these sub 60, 100 backstrokers, and we don't even blink an eye at it. Mm. Sub 60 for 100 back women's is good. That's very good.
Well, that puts you in the elite section, absolutely, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And she seems to be constantly and consistently hitting sub 60 now, which is absolutely what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were the three new faces on the team. Outside of those three, who are your standout picks, your best races?
As in standout from British champs?
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to start with Adam Peaty. Okay. I have to, because it's British swimming. But his 100 breaststroke, he goes 58.5, which Adam Peaty terms, not setting the world alight. But this time of year, that is actually fairly fast for Adam. And we know that coming into trials, he had a terrible illness as well.
Very bad illness.
His team weren't expecting much of him. I think that's most probably why he pulled out of the 200 breaststroke. I know there's a fair few jokes going around online that it's Adam Peaty, he scratches the 200 breaststroke every time. But had he been fully fit and firing, no illness, I probably think he would have swam it.
I would agree with you. Yes, based on what we're hearing, he had the plague is what he got messaged. Like, so I'm assuming he was really badly ill. And actually, Luke Greenbank had a similar sort of illness as well. And for them to pull out those times that they did, I actually think that's actually quite good, especially for this point in time the year as well. Yeah, I mean, when Budapest comes round, I think those times will be coming significantly lower. And I just, you got to remember that he's had 6 months off. He's been dancing.
That's why it's so impressive.
Yeah. I mean, just give him a little bit of a leeway, I think. I mean, 58.5 is very, very strong right now based on the situation that he's been in.
I'll stick with the breaststrokers then. James Wilby, 200 breaststroke. Very good.
That was really good.
Gone under the radar as an exceptionally good swim.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll stick with the guys just for now. Tom Dean had an incredibly impressive meet. I think he's on his way to starting to race as many events as Duncan now at Worlds.
Possibly.
I think he's going to be doing the 100 free, the 200 IM, the 200 free. You're up there then with Duncan with all the relays you're doing as well. So that's incredibly impressive. Duncan pulling out his 409, 400 IM, which would have won Olympics.
When Andy Jameson said that on comms, he's like, I think the British record might go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I thought the Scottish record, yeah, maybe, but not the British record. But actually he was bang on. I'm like, oh, wow, absolutely incredible. Because he turned at the breaststroke to front crawl turn. And I thought, he's only got to go 59. He's going to make it. He's going to do it. And he did. He crushed it. Like, oh, absolutely incredible swim. I mean, every time he jumps in the water, he does something spectacular. I just don't know. What is he? He's able to
What's
do everything. Yeah, what is the limit? And he just gets quicker and quicker.
I'm most excited by is Paris has just been announced that the schedule for the Olympic swimming program is going to be spread over 9 days now rather than 8, which spaces out the program, which essentially means Duncan Scott isn't going to be racing, well, hopefully, isn't going to be racing double, maybe triple races in the evening. And he very much could be on the way to 5-6 medals again. And he can add this 400 IM into his repertoire.
Well, the 400 IM will always be the first event, the first medal on offer. So you think, well, if he can get that one out of the way, whether it's gold, silver or bronze, any medal, that should set him up really nicely for the rest of the week or 9 days. I also think it suits Abby Wood as well.
Just about to get into that.
Because then you've got the 200 free dynamic of the relay, which is getting stronger and stronger, by the way, on that women's side. And then the 200 IM, the 200 breaststroke. I think that will suit her as well. But then you look at the Americans, it's going to suit Dressel and Socham as well and people like that. But for us Brits, I think it's going to suit us pretty well because our versatility right now, not just Duncan, we talk about Duncan all the time, but you just mentioned Tom Dean, Abby Wood. The versatility is just getting better and better, which is brilliant.
It is. And we actually got asked on Twitter, how is British swimming doing this? And I put it down to, we've had a lot of podcasts in the past 6 months with coaches, with juniors who are coming through, and it's that target not to specialize down until you're 18. And even then, you're seeing the likes of Tom Dean not specializing down at all. And a lot of the juniors are targeting the 200 IM. And at this meet, I looked at the junior 200 IM, and that was basically where I picked the standout swimmers. And you will notice that those 200 IM swimmers were the ones winning all the other events as well. So that's almost the target event for British swimming right now.
Yeah, that and the 400, definitely, because if you're able to do 100 metres of each stroke, then that, you know, it opens many doors into relays, individuals, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, if you specialise too early, then you've only got a number of doors to open, whereas if you're good at the 400 IM, then blimey, you've got everything available to you, which is brilliant from a British point of view, and the juniors are just doing outstanding right now, which we'll get into in a minute. I want to mention Freya Anderson, because that 400 meter freestyle, I don't know if she's now targeting that race, but
she might have to.
it's getting better and better. 408 is pretty good for her. I do generally think it's going to get lower and lower. I think we might be seeing a 406 by the end of the season. That's how good I think she could possibly be. And she's got the right tactics and technique for it, where it's the building tactic, which suits the 400 free. I think we should watch out for that. Really should.
Yeah, definitely. Just as an overall point on all of these swimmers who were selected, the thing I quite liked is those automatic qualifiers, bar one or two, all of them showed up at trials. They didn't rest. They could easily have, I think all of them did probably train through the meets, but they're all swimming fast. They're not there on merit. They're almost all there on form, which is really exciting to see. We will discuss all of the races of British Champs. So if there's any standout swims for any other swimmers that we've missed, they will get picked up later on this podcast. But Dan, let's talk about some unlucky swimmers not to get picked.
Yeah.
And for me, I've got like a whole category of swimmers almost. And it's those who could back up the women's medley relay team. So essentially they are taking almost a first choice team with backups in. Yeah, they got the backstroke and the freestyle, but they're there on individual races, individual merit. They haven't taken a backup for breaststroke, and they haven't taken a backup for 100 fly either, which for me almost, I don't know, it's incredibly harsh on a few of the swimmers. It almost says that relay isn't a target for me, because I would have liked to see Cara Hanlon, she British champion 100 breaststroke, go, because Molly Renshaw hasn't raced really so far this year. Yeah. I think that's incredibly unlucky. I think Imogen Clark is...
That's the number one for me.
Yeah. I put out a tweet that she was the most unlucky swimmer because British women don't respect the 50 breaststroke. But she's close to podium level on the 50 breaststroke.
Well, the thing is with her is that, yes, she's a good 50-meter breaststroke, and to go 30.1 is you're in a top five in the world right now. I mean, she's got a potential of winning a medal at Worlds, let alone just making a final. She's a good backup for the heat swim in the medley relay. And like you say, you kind of think of, you want to try and push that team like we're pushing the 4x2 in the men's side. You want to try and push that and actually encourage these swimmers to go to these meets to then be potentially medal winning relays in the long term. There were a few that missed out. Harriet Jones, you mentioned the fly there.
Same for the medley, yeah.
Yeah.
She was very close to Laura Stevens. It wasn't like she's miles off the swimmer that got selected.
Yeah, she actually broke the Welsh record in the 50-meter freestyler, so she is doing all right. It's just very unlucky. I do like the idea of bringing backups and resting the slightly quicker swimmers for the heats and then resting for the final, you know?
Well, we'll go into that then, because I've got another unlucky swimmer on the guy side, which is Cameron Curl. He was the only swimmer to swim an Olympic qualification time and not go to Tokyo in the 200 meters freestyle. He finishes fifth at trials in the 200 free behind Joe Litchfield and the three podium guys in James Guy, Duncan Scott and Tom Dean. He's so unlucky, because I actually probably would have taken six guys for that relay. And with Max Litchfield pulling out due to personal circumstances, suddenly you've only got five. And Duncan and Tom look like they're going to have very, very busy meet. So I probably would have taken Cam Curl, because he's swimming, what, a 146, 147?
Yeah, which is strong. Yeah, it's very strong.
It's a good swim.
We were talking beforehand, Jacob Whittle is going. And you think, oh yeah, well, you could throw him onto the heat swim. But actually, if you take out, let's say, take out Tom, who goes 144, and then replace him with Jacob, that's a 5 seconds difference. That's massive on a relay. So it's a little bit of risky play. Yes, you might qualify in lane two, maybe something like that. So you might still make the final, but you just don't want to risk it. I like the idea of taking a swimmer to then maximize our final time. I mean, we were just off that world record in Tokyo. And you think, if we took Cam Carr to do the heat swim, and then Tom and Duncan and everyone in that team are fresh, I think that world record goes. Maybe it goes eventually anyway, because those top guys are just going to get quicker and quicker. But Cam Curl, it just so unlucky. It's just one of those eras. It's a bit like the Andy Murray being involved in the Roger Rafa and Novak era. Just like so unlucky. It's like, honestly, super good and very quick at the 200 free, but he's just in the unfortunate era of the best British swimming 200 freestyle we've ever had.
Yeah, if I'm honest, it's almost these worlds aren't, they're not taking a big, I mean, 23 is still big, but they're not taking a giant squad where they are going to rotate too much in relays. Swimmers are going to be swimming quite a lot. I think it's also a sign that it's going to be a very busy summer. So the likes of Imogen Clark, Cara Hanlon, Harriet Jones, Cam Curl, they're all going to have chances to race at a major meet this summer. Had that not been the case, had there been no Europeans, no commies, they might go.
I think commies is the big thing, because every Scottish swimmer, not every swimmer, you know, top Scottish swimmers, they're all going to go. Cam's going to go for England.
Curl's English, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to go for England regardless, I think, because you're going to have him and Tom Dean. You've got Callum Jarvis, who will swim for Wales with Matt Richards.
Yeah.
So I think these guys will be racing this summer internationally anyway. So are they missing out? I mean, I'd be pretty upset if I were Cam Curl. Definitely, if I'm going 146, I've just missed Tokyo and I've also just missed the world team. I'd be pretty gutted. But hopefully, it's motivation for him to keep going and to drive him on, and hopefully become maybe our best 200 freestyle ever. Who knows? You just don't know. But if hopefully that builds the fire in him to keep going.
Yeah. Any other swimmers who were unlucky not to go? Then I think there's one who we'd pick. But I think we're being generous, because I think she is a very, very strong chance of being a future star for British swimming, Katie Shanahan. But she didn't have the best British champs with illness, you're telling me?
Yeah, she was ill for that as well. She's still in the sort of fringe prospect sort of category at the moment. She's just on the brink of getting onto that senior team. I think it would have been a good experience to take her, but if I'm in charge, I'm taking everyone. So it's kind of irrelevant what I think. I would take her because she's a solid backstroker. She can do the IM. I'm sure she could do a bit of fly as well on a relay potentially too. I would have taken her because she's so versatile and needs that experience, because she, like Mehdi Harris, I think she's got a fantastic future ahead of her. But again, with Commonwealths coming up, I think she'll be on that Scottish team. So, yeah.
I think you'll see a much larger squad for Europeans as well.
I think so as well.
I think that'd be the other point this year. Before the Olympics, they took a squad of like 40-odd to Europeans. So I wouldn't be surprised if these names who were just like, oh, they're slightly unlucky, but we can kind of see the reasoning why they're not there. I think they'd go to Europeans, hands down.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that a lot of juniors will probably go to that as well. Like they did last year when they took Casey Shanahan was one of them, Cameron Van Salm, take those guys, Ed Mildred, take them to juniors and then hopefully promote them then to seniors. I think they're going to do that. I think they'll do it again.
I tell you what, if you think there's any swimmers that we've missed for this World Championship squad who you would have picked had you been in charge, I mean, good luck getting into that position. Why don't you leave a comment on YouTube and we'll have a discussion with you. We'll discuss the merits of each swimmer and see maybe they're one for a few years' time. Maybe they're incredibly unlucky, like we've suggested for a few. Back to British champs then, Dan. Let's talk about the standout swimmers on the junior side. We've talked about the seniors. Let's go through the juniors, because it was good to see these guys mixing it with the best. And there were a fair few names that I'm going to keep an eye on for the future. We got a little list now, don't we?
We do have a long list, actually. And this is where the whole idea of doing the four finals has really helped these swimmers. Now, these swimmers haven't raced. I mean, there were some like 14-year-olds, and because of COVID, they haven't actually raced at that sort of level in 2 years. And so the PBs that they were hitting, like five, six, seven second PBs, were just massive. So it's great.
Ponsforge has something to do with that as well, because that's a fast pool.
Some of my best times were from Ponsforge. It is a very fast pool. And I want to talk about the whole club of Sheffield, I think, because most of their swimmers were just outstanding, like literally outstanding. One name that springs to mind is Ashley Bailey, who qualified for European Juniors in multiple events, I imagine. She swam amazingly, and she's only 14. And you just think, wow, she's going so well. So I'm just going to list you some of the names that I've got written down here. Ashley Bailey was one. Sky Carter, I believe, finaled in every single junior final that she raced in. Phoebe Cooper, fantastic 400 I am from her. Holly Widows, I was live tweeting, yep. And I just mentioned her name almost every time.
Every final.
Yeah.
All the time.
Just incredible. And then Eva Okaro, who we've spoken about before, is a future one to watch. She actually did her Achilles 6 months ago. But the fact that she was racing is a bonus to start with. And, you know, she's still smashing out some fantastic times. That's just the girls' side. And there's a few boys that you want to talk about as well who were impressive.
Yeah, definitely. From City of Liverpool, Tyler Melvin-Smith certainly stood out. I think he won tons of the junior events. Evan Jones won the 200 IM and the 100 butterfly on the junior side. As I said, I was really paying attention to those IM races because it always is a good guide to a swimmer's development. You got Calvin Fry. I was really impressed with his range. So he won the 50 freestyle and then also competed very well. I think he was in like the B final or the Paris final for the 200 freestyle. So that's some really good range to be an incredibly good sprinter.
His start is good.
His
start is really good.
You got Alex Painter again from Millfield. Looked really good. And Ruben Keating. He stands out head and shoulders above everyone, just physically. Physically. 6'8", 6'8", at what, 14, 16, something like that?
Yeah, 16, I think he is, 16, 17.
Just like, wow.
Monstrous.
He was all over Twitter because Andy Guy obviously has a lot to do with the Manchester Swimming Club. I almost wanted to message and be like, look, just get him in touch with Matt Grievers and have a discussion about technique, turn, skills, because Matt Grievers was a fantastically skilled swimmer at 6'10
he was, yeah.
And it takes a lot of body control to be good at that sort of height. I know swimmers do need to be tall, but that maybe that's a route for him to look at.
Well, that's just it. It's controlling the levers. I mean, he's going to have longer arms and longer legs than probably all of them, actually, in the whole pool. So it's very difficult to control that. I imagine like basketball players have that problem where they've got to try and get a little bit of hand-eye coordination because, you know, when you like kids have growth spurts, they kind of bump into things because they just don't know where their body is just yet. So it's difficult. It's difficult to do, to get used to your body. And to be 6'8", I mean, that's a giant, isn't it? That's just absolutely ginormous. And
he's
swam
a whole
well.
Foot taller than me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
But yeah, all of those names that we have just listed, we are looking to see how they do at European Juniors. I know there's European Youth Olympics as well this year. I think there's World Juniors, but I'm not sure British swimmers are going. They've just been announced to be in Peru. That's a hell of a journey.
That's a bit fun.
But yeah, it was just good to see young swimmers swimming fast. And there were some really, really competitive races across the world.
There really were, actually. And the fact that the crowd got behind these guys as well as the elite side, I think that bodes well for British swimming for years to come. And if they keep performing like they just did at Ponds Forge, then blimey, we're in for... I listed the girls first because I think these girls have got the talents to just go leaps and bounds. And I think where our medley relay or any relay right now on the men's side is strong, I think the women are going to come through even stronger in the next 5 to 10 years, something like that. You know, I think the future is very bright, and I can't wait to see what these guys do.
We did say that after Tokyo that yes, the men were the ones with the medals, but the women's side they weren't far off, and we actually thought that this depth that we can see is definitely coming through. Come Paris, I think is only going to bump that side up even more, and the men's side's not going anywhere, obviously.
Yeah.
The women's side, it's incredibly exciting time for British swimming, just to see the depth that we've never really had before.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree with you. Everything you just said, it's fantastic. I mean, the three main clubs, if you like, the ones that did the best in terms of performance and medals were Sheffield, Mount Kelly and Millfield. They're the usual suspects, aren't they? The top three clubs in the country, and they're still producing incredible talent. So long may it continue.
Yes, definitely. Okay. So that is the World Championship squad. The unlucky ones to miss out, and some standout juniors, because that's equally exciting. And I think in the future we are going to do a podcast on European juniors, because there's a whole load of knowledge there that needs to be shared. Dan, let's go through day by day then of British champs and do a quick rundown of our favorite races and some standout swims, just as a summary of British champs. So day one, I think for me the favorite race was the women's 200 meters freestyle.
It was
Abby Woods against Freya Anderson. I don't entirely think I saw Abby winning, but it just shows the depth that she has in all events right now.
It's the underwaters. The underwaters that she had won her that race. So if there's any youngsters listening in and haven't watched that race, watch that race. Freya Anderson on top of the water is quicker. There's no shadow of doubt in my mind or anyone's mind, I don't think, when it comes to racing on top of the water, doing freestyle, Freya is quicker. But the underwaters that Abby has is just, it's just awesome. And that's the reason why she won that race in the end, because that last turn is just, she's going like 10 to 15 meters on that last turn on a 200 meter freestyle. That's not easy. That's hard.
But that's the fastest way to swim.
It is. It is. Yeah. And that's the reason why coaches do it all the time in training with fins or whatever it is, you know, streamlined underwater dolphin. And it, it proved really crucial to Abby winning that title. I did. That was an upset in my mind. I thought Freya was going to win that. Freya Colbert round off the podium. Yeah.
Yeah. That was for me the equally impressive bit to drop 3 seconds and go under 2 minutes and go a 1:57. I think that relay team now looks really good, because you've got Abby, you've got Freya, you now got Freya number two, and you've got Lucy Hope as well, who's going. So I'm kind of excited to see what these girls can do at Worlds. I think they make the final now and look good at doing it.
I would agree with you, actually, yes. It's kind of a shame that Tamarin Van Salm did swim okay, but she would be
She looked better at the four.
Yeah, she did. I don't know if she's targeting that more than the two at the moment, but that's another name to complete that relay, potentially. I just think it was a great race. You always want to target the 200 free, because it's not a distance. It's not really, I think it's a sprint, but it's the actual relay element as well. So that was definitely the highlight from day one. Other races, like we've talked about the 50 breaststroke for Imogen Clark, so close to that British record. I was actually super impressed with the men's 400 meter freestyle. Dan Jervis to go 3:46. I didn't expect him to go that sort of time, because, I mean, you know, usually with these distance swimmers, they can hold, let's say, 58s for 100 or whatever like that. And then when they get to doing like a 200, 400, they actually can't break that pace. They can't go any quicker than that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he did break that 800 pace or that 1500 pace, he actually did really well for that 3:46.
I wonder if that is a result of the Olympics and him suddenly realizing that to win an 800 or a 1500 come the Olympics, he's going to need a turn of speed now.
Quite possibly. I tell you what we need. We need Adam Baker on here to talk about his development, because he's been selected as one of the coaches, hasn't he?
Open invitation.
Little plug in there, why not? 0.1 off consideration time, but he's going anyway, so I imagine he's going to be racing that. And I've spoken about the interviews with John Mason after the races. He looked chuffed with that swim, and so he should be, because that was a really good swim. Any other races from day one? It was a packed day one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The women's 400 IM, like one of the juniors you said, Phoebe Cooper, definitely one to watch, 14 years old. Freya Colbert doubling up finals and winning a gold and a bronze on day one. I think that just set the tone. Set the tone for the week. And if you can do that, I think that's almost what's got her onto the team. The impressive is professional. It's a professional job to swim two finals and win two medals.
That double 18. That double's hard. I mean, I imagine it'd be better doing it the other way around, do the 400 IM first and then the 2:3. But she did it the other way around, and coming off racing against Abby and Freya in the 200 free to then go and win the 400 IM. I mean, that takes a lot of bravery, I suppose. Courage and the mindset is just super strong with her right now. What a fantastic day. That's the reason why she was so strong for the rest of the week, because that must have built so much confidence in her.
Yeah, and we've talked about the men's 100 breaststroke with Adam going 58.5. James Wilby again looks so good as the second breaststroker in Britain, going 59.1. Very, very strong. Day two then. Standout swim. Got to be Jimmy Guy. The way he swims that 200 fly is painful to watch. I love it. Does he ever race it internationally again? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just because of how strong the relays are, he wants to keep himself fresh. I just love that he still does it on a domestic level and still swims it gutsy. I was going to say something else, but I won't.
I imagine he wants to do the individual 100 fly the next time a major meet comes around. Worlds is the next one, or Paris down the line. I think the fact that he missed out on a potential bronze in Tokyo for that 100 fly, I think he wants to race that event. So I'm not quite sure if he does the 200 fly, because he'll have the relays on top of that as well. But it's very entertaining to watch. Really entertaining. You just think, oh, he's going out hard again. Here we go. And then you can see him just fall off the train a little bit towards the last 25 meters. But it's such bravery. You're not really supposed to do it on a 200 fly. Chad does it, and he suffers the same way. And it's all about holding on to the end. And then
Milak does it and just keeps on going faster. So, God.
He's a different animal, him.
Men's 50 breaststroke, Adam going a 26.9, James Wilby going a 27.1. Both of like the 100, both look very strong. Women's 100 back, I think we expected faster times.
I did.
But Mehdi winning in a 59.9, as we discussed beforehand. Still good, under 60. I think backstroke in general was a little slow at this meet.
It was. Yeah, I'm not quite sure why, or it just happened to be that one event, but I built that as one of the races to watch for the whole meet. It just didn't quite happen, so I was a little bit disappointed from that point of view. But again, we spoke about it. Mehdi broke 60, which is always a good thing. Kathleen Dawson just didn't quite turn up, but I imagine she was training through because of automatic selection. It's one of those things, unfortunately.
Men's 100 breaststroke, Luke Greenbank wins from lane 8. I think that was his first race of the meet, so we know he was quite ill beforehand, so it was not a struggle to make the final, but he got lucky essentially to make it in lane 8. And to go 54.5 is pretty good. Unrested, illness, everything in between, and his 200 back later on in the meet was a bit more impressive. I think this was him blowing out some cobwebs.
Yeah, he was lucky to make the final in the first place from, was it lane 8 or lane 1? It was one of the outside lanes. Lane 8. I think he swam it pretty well when the final came round. It was just, I don't know, maybe a little bit of, I don't know what it was. He was just a little bit sort of rusty for the first heat swim and just lucky, but he pulled it back really nicely in the final. And that's a good time. 54.5 with an illness, unrested. That's good. It's all right.
Yeah, women's 200 breaststroke, Abby Wood just doesn't swim badly.
Not really.
224 and she swims away on, I think this is what Abby does in every race, actually. She did it in the 200 IM as well. She swims away on the last 50.
Yeah, she paced it really nicely, actually. I think she's changed her technique ever so slightly. So she's fully extending anyway, but she used to do a sort of go down and then forward thing, and she seems to have fixed that a little bit. So that's always good.
I wonder if that is almost... So there was a lot of discussion at the end of last year about the undulation in ISL, the fly kick.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I fully agree with all of it. There's underwater cameras now. There's VAR to get rid of it. In the back of my mind, I was a tiny bit concerned about Abby's technique. Because there is a bit of undulation and a bit of hip movement when the legs are still in her technique. I wonder if that's what you're talking about. I wonder if that's gone now. They've been working on eradicating that just so that there's no chance she gets DQ'd from the IMs more than the breaststroke races.
Yeah, quite possibly. And I think it looks better, actually, because she's not going as deep. She's staying on top of the water. The higher you are in the water, the easier and the faster it is to go through the water, of course. She just doesn't have a bad race, does she? She just performs every single time. 224 right now, that's good. I mean, what was the world record? It was 219, wasn't it? So, I don't expect her to go to world record or anything like that, but her PB is 222. And I think to be seconds off is good on a 200 right now. So, she should be happy with that.
Okay, day 3 was the day of records. So we had Duncan Scott's British record in the 400 IM in a 409 and Lewis Burras's English record in the 100 freestyle 47.88. Dan, which one of those do you want to start with?
Oh, well, let's go with Duncan. You said that one first. I said at the very beginning that Jameson predicted it, and I just thought, I don't know if you... Really? Like, Scottish record? Yeah, okay, but not the British one. And then he just proves me wrong. I mean, who am I to say Duncan won't do anything? Because he will probably go and do it then. Just he awesome.
He could go out and, I don't know, he could set any record he wants to right now, I feel.
I mean, the records that he does have, he's got the 1 and 2... freestyle, he's got 2 and 4 IM, and he can pull out a pretty good 100 fly as well. I mean, the guy is incredible, to be honest with you. 409, I imagine that's going to keep going lower and lower because he says he's still learning the event, and you think, wow, and you're going 409. That would have won Tokyo.
You would have won gold. There's a gold medal up for grabs in that 400 IM for Duncan if he will carry on with it. There's no doubt. Biggest threat right now in the world is Leon Machard from France, who's been racing out in Arizona State in America. He went at 410 and everyone thought that was blowing the doors off. So Duncan Scott, very, very impressive. Men's 100 free, Lewis Burras then, a 47.88. Dan, English record, 0.01 off a British record. I will say it was close with him and Tom Dean, mind.
Yeah, but he's...
Tom Dean is impressive.
It's interesting because the 100-free, you have two different tactics, it seems. You have one that you just blast it on the first 50 and hold on, or you do this sort of Matt Richards, Carl Chalmers sort of tactic where you go out relatively steady and then come back strong. Mm. Burris does the tactic where he just blasts it from the get-go and he just holds on. It's just great to see. That's the tactic I would choose, and it's worked brilliantly for him to be going 47 or sub 48 right now is awesome. He's the fastest in the world, which we said earlier. It's just awesome, and I don't know why we haven't heard of him before. It's just incredible swim.
Mm. And Jacob Whittle also set another age group record in that as a 17-year-old, just 17, and he's going the times he's going still. It almost is like it's a disappointing meet for him because he didn't win. And it's just like, well, hang on. The kid's 17 and he's going 48 point. And it's just like, what?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good that he's not winning right now because I don't know if that will change the mindset a little bit. The fact that he's still winning at the age of 17. Yes, he's still chasing. And now that Burrows has come out of nowhere, and you think, oh, there's another target to aim for, you know? You have Ben Proud in the 50, now you've got Lewis Burrows in the 100. Perfect, amazing. And so hopefully it will drag him and Matt Richards on to better things because they're both still teenagers. So yeah, bodes well.
Very exciting relay to come in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Men's 1500 freestyle. We'll get back to Dan Jervis then. This was a race he was disappointed in.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what he was disappointed in. But obviously, he did something wrong on each length or something like that, whether it was a stroke count or going into a turn slightly wrong or, like, I don't know. He was missing 0.1, let's just say, on every turn. And, of course, over a 1500, that adds up to being, you know, quite a few seconds, actually. Mm. So he was disappointed with a sub 15 minutes, which is just baffling. I'd be ecstatic if I went sub 15. But wow, if you're top five in the world, you expect big things, don't you? Yeah. So, but he should be happy with his meets in general. The 400 was probably the highlight, I would say. The 800 was solid, and I thought the 15 was good also. So, yeah.
And then the women's 50 freestyle to round out the day. Anna Hopkin goes a very solid 24.8. She's head and shoulders ahead of anyone in British swim for the 50 freestyle. I still think, had she raced this at Tokyo, I'd be interested to see where she ends up.
Well, we'll never know. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, I suppose. But yeah, she's, like you say, you like her start, and actually it was her back ends that did really well this meet. So if she can incorporate both of them, then, well, we're looking at a world beast, aren't we? But there's no one to challenge her in the country right now. You've got Isabella Hindley, who is good, but she hasn't quite broken 25, I don't think, just yet. She's a little bit like Ben Proud. She's by herself at the moment. Until that next one comes through, then no one will really challenge her. But, you know, time-wise, she's doing really well.
Mm. Day four, then, of British Champs, the standout swims. It was a bit of a quieter day four, but the men's 100 fly and the women's 100 free. Dan, take us through it.
Well, I mean, it was Jimmy against Jacob in the 100 fly. Jimmy Guy and Jacob Peters both going sub 52, which actually I think is really impressive. I think, if I remember right, what is the British record for that? Is it like 50.7? Something like that. So they're like a second off. That's really good. The fact that they've got each other to race against, plus they're both at Bath as well, I think they will push each other on. And then 100 free actually was quicker than I expected. Anna went 53.4 and Freya went 53.9. Now, these girls have been racing side by side for what seems like forever, haven't they? Hitting the same times. And the fact that Anna, again, with the back end speed, just got away from Freya in the end.
It's interesting that Anna actually got the upper hand on Freya in that one because, like we said, the build up to All Tokyo, they were hitting the exact same time.
Yeah,
maybe it's a sign that Freya is targeting more the endurance. So the two and the four were the more impressive ones, and maybe she's not just done that. She's just not done that speed work yet, which Anna is working on. I think that's probably what the separating factor is, just where they are in their training.
Yeah, I think if with Anna being in the Mel Marshall squad with Adam and Luke and Jacob Whittle as well, that I think they're doing a lot of gym work at the moment. There's a lot of power-based stuff going on. So when it eventually comes into the swimming side and the speed side, that will eventually work out better for Anna. But I think with Freya, she might actually be targeting the 400 from now on. I'm not quite sure. She should still carry on with the two, but who knows?
Let's see. Day five then, where do you want to start?
All of the races, to be honest with you. Should we just go from the start? I spoke about Lauren Cox in the preview, didn't I?
It was a good little nugget of... it was a good little prediction from you, if I'm honest. You said the 100, and then she goes and smashes the 50, which I didn't see coming. It was a good call.
Some people say it was a surprise win. I'm like, I'm not too surprised. She got second in the 100 backstroke as well. She swam really well at Edinburgh, and I thought she might bring that over into Sheffield. So, yeah, not really a surprise win from me, but a good win either way. Men's 53. This was a barnstormer, wasn't it? I labelled it on the live tweeting as Burrows versus Proud, and I had no idea who was going to win it because for me it was a 50-50.
I think that says a lot about Lewis Burrows, though. Usually Ben Proud just goes in and you barely watch the race because you just look at the clock and be like, how fast does Ben Proud go? Now he's got domestic competition.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first time in God knows how long where we've got two swimmers who are genuinely threats in the 50 freestyle.
Well, I'm desperately trying to remember when the last time we took two male swimmers for the 50 meter freestyle. I mean, we're going back really, really far.
Was it young Ben Proud and Adam Barrett?
I honestly, I can't remember. It was so long ago. But the fact now we've definitely got two going in who are both going sub 22 right now.
Steve from Paul Boy, if you're listening, drop us a message. That would be very helpful. Your knowledge going back is a little bit better than ours. So if you are listening, that would be really appreciative.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of two different races in one. You got Ben Proud, who I still think has the second best start in world swimming. He takes an early lead. And then Lewis Burrows, just, I don't know what happened to him. He just found the jets in the last like 15 meters. It was awesome how he came back at him. And he went 21.77. I mean, that's right up there with the best in the world right now.
And then women's 400 freestyle. We've discussed this one beforehand. Freya Anderson against Freya Colbert. Equally as impressive as each other for me. I'm excited to see what they can both do on the world stage in that event.
Yep.
Men's 200 meters. I am then. Duncan going a 1:56. And to me, looked like he swam that hard. He looked like he was, he took it out fast for once. Working on the front end.
That's what he said in the interview. That's what he was targeting, actually. Which I think it's good that he's playing around with tactics. You can't just rely on the freestyle at the end because it's the shortest length, if you like. It's the one that's over quickest. So I think it's a good idea that he's playing around with the tactics. And I even said to you, didn't I, that you watch him on the backstroke, he's going to push the backstroke. And what did he do? He pushed the back. I'm a genius. but actually, even though, yes, Duncan had the best time just then, I was actually quite happy with Tom Dean's time.
Yeah, that was what impressed me.
157.1 is good. I knew he could do a good IM, but I didn't realize he could do it that good. So who knows?
He's a previous British champion, isn't he, in the 200 IM?
Yeah, he is.
2018, I think he won British champs in 200 IM.
Yeah, that's now 4 years ago, mind you. That's a long time ago.
He's still only like 21, 22.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, he'd been doing it at ISL for a few years and been swimming it pretty well, to be honest with you. And he's now converted it or transitioned to long course doing it well. So yeah, I don't know, because you had Joe Litchfield swimming the 200 IM at Tokyo. Is his spot now threatened because of Tom Dean? Don't know.
I think Tom Dean,
I imagine it is.
Women's 200 IM then, Abby Wood goes to 2:11. She said she was a little disappointed. I'm actually pretty pleased with that sort of time. Yeah. I said, because I did a live tweeting for this one, I said anything around the 2:10 mark would be really good this time of year, especially given the fact that she was ill at kind of the first training block of the year. She had glandular fever.
Yeah.
2:11's very good. I mean, anyway, 2:10, 2:11 this time of year. Yeah. I still expect her to make major finals.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if she went 208, 209 roughly at Tokyo to go 210, 211 already, just bodes well. And like you say, she's been a little bit ill and so she had a stacked meet, mind you, as well. She always will do. I think it bodes well, especially with, like we said before, Paris is now being extended to 9 days. I think it is going to really favour her. So, yes.
I think my biggest takeaway from her 200 IM was the backstroke leg. It stood out as where she almost rested her leg slightly because of maybe a long meet, maybe illness. I think that was a one leg that she didn't push on. The breaststroke looked solid. I wouldn't say it was outstanding, but I think maybe that was Lily Booker in the lane next to her had a she had a really fast breaststroke leg to take her to a 2:13, and then the last 50 was incredibly good on the freestyle leg. So she's got the depth there. I think it was just a little tweak here and there in terms of fitness more than anything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think she's always going to be right up there in the world. And I think we've got nothing to worry about with Abby at all.
Day six, then, the best final session of the whole week, where we finish this podcast. We're going to go through it one by one because we're finished with the best race in British swimming. So the men's 50 fly, Ben Proud smashes out a 23.0. I am very excited to see what he does at World Champs. Obviously, this is a race that isn't in the Olympics. Mm. It's very much his passion. He loves the 50 fly. It's his fun event. Can he threaten Dressel and Nicolas Santos? I maybe think so. His start looked very, very good.
Always. I think every 50 swimmer believes that they have a chance of winning just because one little error from someone else will give you an advantage. And the fact that he has his starts that he has, I mean, yes, he might be a little bit behind Dressel, but he's not too far away from Dressel on the start. I mean, we talk about Dressel's start, but Ben's start is, you know, nearly as good as Dressel's. And the fact that he's able to hold the water for the whole 50 meters, he's always going to be a threat on the 50 fly and the 53 as well. So, yes, definitely watch out for him. And he'll be targeting that gold like he did in Tokyo for the 53 as well.
Yeah. Women's 100 breaststroke, for me, arguably one of the best races of the meet. It was certainly exciting in terms of positionings.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was just all drama, wasn't it? That was the good thing about this race. We talked about it on the preview that this was a race to watch out for because outside of Molly, who didn't race again in the end, the other three girls in Imogen, Sarah and Cara were, you know, pick them out of a hat for this race. And the times were, they were all separated by 0.1. They finished at the same time, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Just awesome. It was never going to be easy to predict. Cara got a small PB, which furthers her Scottish records. They all went 67 mid, basically.
Yeah.
And the fact that none of those three are going to Worlds is a bit like, oh, massive shame. It really is, to be honest with you.
A little bit. You say it was hard to predict. We had Cara on the week before trials. We thought she had a very strong chance of winning. I'm going to say we predicted that.
Yeah, all
right. I'm going to claim that. But in the matter of fact, it was a flip of a coin, really.
It was, yeah. Good race, though.
Yes, men's 200 backstroke then. Luke Greenbank goes a 157.5, and I think he needs to buy Brody Williams a beer because Brody pushed him the whole way there. There are a few headlines out there saying Brody was pulled along. I actually think it was very much the other way around. I think Brody really took it to Luke. You saw that on basically the first 50.
Yeah.
We know Luke was ill, but for both of them to go a 157, both of them to make the squad, I'm excited for Brody. I actually think the two back is his main event. I know he was very impressive in the 4 AM at trials, at Olympic trials. He swam that at the Olympics. The two back's his event.
I believe so as well. Yeah, because he's got good underwaters, good technique, still head, et cetera, which you need on backstroke. And you've got Luke Greenbank, who is the bronze medalist at Tokyo. I mean, you can't ask for too much more in terms of getting motivation to be a better 200 backstroker. And the fact that he's broken, sub 2 minutes, of course, and then sub 158. I think that's quite good for both of them. We've spoken about Luke being ill and the fact that Brody attacked the race. I like that. I like the fact that he recognizes that Luke was a little bit ill, so he put him to the fire and, you know, tested him. And it's brought about a really good time that Brody should be pretty happy with, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely. Women's 100 fly. Laura Stevens just proves that having a 200 fly in your locker is incredibly important in the 100 because she came back. Essentially, it was almost a dead heat. But she just showed she had the better back end speed to go a 58.4 to ahead of Harriet Jones. I think Harriet Jones is, like we said before, unlucky not to make the team in the medley relay backup spot. She wasn't that far off.
Yeah, it's almost like roles reversed, actually. Do you remember in Tokyo that Harriet was the number one and then Laura was more of the backup? It's kind of roles reversed now. And actually, Laura Stevens is getting better and better. She's just moved to Loughborough. I think that's a really good move for her. 58 mid, it's solid. And she's more suited to that 200 fly, which she did just miss out on that consideration time. But
she'll swim it.
I imagine she would swim. She'll swim both. I imagine she'll swim both of those races with the medley relay as well. Yeah, Harriet's just unlucky. I would have picked her, but that's me. I would have picked everyone.
And we finished this podcast review and the meet of British Champs with the men's 200 meters freestyle. I'm so glad this is the last race of the meet. Every British Champs now, because by far and away, it's the best race. Duncan Scott to go at 145 in April is bonkers.
They both bonkers, went. They both right? went 145. Tom and Duncan, just awesome. I mean, I remember because you live tweeted this race, which I was a little bit gutted about, but you live tweeted it and you just went, wow, 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 and all that sort of like enthusiastic sort of messaging. And then there's some people like, calm down. Like, no, 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 this is awesome. Like, if you're British and you're watching this race, you're on the edge of your seat because you don't know who's going to win, for starters. Jimmy.
I thought Jimmy had it. Jimmy genuinely did.
He attacked it from the very get-go, and you think, hey, I'll never write off Jimmy Guy because, you know what he's like racing-wise. He's just an animal. And then you've got Duncan and Tom who are just able to pull away on that last 50 metres, and it could have gone anywhere.
It was impressive.
It's just impressive. I don't really know what to say about it. It's just awesome. And the fact that it's happening on British soil, it's involving Brits, the top two in the world, just amazing.
I'm not sure they are now. It was a very fast week of racing. There was a young German who went a 144, I believe.
It was literally
like a few hours after Duncan raced. There are some wild times being swum. But the fact that there's so many of those swimmers going sub 47 is equally impressive. I think under the radar, Joe Litchfield coming in fourth. That's a very good swim from him. And yeah, he gets the backup slot in the relay because of that swim.
Yes. Yeah. Especially with Max not being there. I think Joe is almost odds on to be that heat swimmer now. And then I assume you rest Duncan because he'll be doing the 400 IM as well. That's the way I would probably play it. You could risk it and then take Tom out, put Jacob Whittle in. I don't know if you would. You got Matt Richards in there. He's in the team already, of course.
I would say the heats now is going to be a case of whoever's faster between Joe and Matt swims the final. I think that's actually what it's going to be.
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, Matt didn't have the best of meets, did he?
I trained straight through it.
But you know what the potential and the ability that he has. So see what he does in Worlds, basically. But even then, it's still a bit too early because I imagine all these guys are going to be concentrating on commies. I would say that is really the main meet this year. So it's almost like a bit of a Worlds is a bit of a warm-up for commies, which is weird to say. Yeah, it is a bit weird to say. But there you go. There's the review. What a week.
There we go. So that is the World Championships team basically analysed from Propulsion Swimming. And then your rundown of British Championships. You are right, Dan. It was a hell of a week of swimming. And it almost builds us very nicely into what is going to be a very exciting summer for British swimming. And here at Propulsion Swimming, we're going to be covering it all. There are plenty of interviews on the way from standout swimmers at this meet. I can promise you that. Yep. A few new names, which we are going to get you acquainted with. Yes, we will cover all of the major meets as well. So we're looking forward to it. If you haven't subscribed already to the Propulsion Swimming podcast or Propulsion Swimming on YouTube, now is the time to do it. But Dan, we'll be back in, I think it's like 5 days now, because we're back on Thursday next week.
Yep. We're going to target Thursdays again, yes.
And I'll see you in 5 days' time.
Yes, thank you for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.